to the first book of Kings. And we've come to our final Gentile bride. And actually, I'll tell you, I've had a hard time this week thinking about that. But I know we're not going to leave these thoughts. I know that the Lord has placed them in us, and I believe that He has lit them up. Amen? And there's an abounding because that's who He is. He's the God that giveth increase. And I thank the Lord that He does that. We can plant and water, but it's only our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that brings the increase. But we've come tonight to a precious sister, and her name is Abishag. Now, in studying this, some believe that this Abishag is the same woman that is called the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon. I have to tell you, my heart does agree with that. I believe there's a lot of encouragement with it. I believe Paul's gospel by the Spirit in my heart, in what the Lord is encouraging my life, I think it's indisputable. But this unknown Gentile woman, she's going to be sought, she's going to be brought, and she's not only going to be the prize of the king, she's really going to be the value, in a sense, of the kingdom itself. Did you hear that? She's the value of the kingdom. She is worth so much, as we will see tonight, that without her, there is no kingdom. Do you really believe that Christ in you, the hope of glory? I think my skin's going to lift off. It's not just my hair tonight. But why don't you really think about that? Without her, there is no kingdom. That's how He loves you. That's what He desires for you with Him. You think He's pretty passionate about us taking that place, huh? You know it. Trust Him. I know there's a lot of things that are hitting a lot of lives right now. But He's doing it for one thing. Eternity in the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning and glorified together with Him. If anything about our Lord is true, then that is true. Because that's the word of our Lord. So we thank Him for this. Greatly thank Him for this. But let's just go ahead now, and we'll read this introduction in 1 Kings chapter 1. Let's read verses 1 through 4. Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. Wherefore his servants said unto him, let there be sought for my lord, the king, a young virgin. Let her stand before the king. Let her cherish him. Let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair and cherished the king and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. Now, many like to ponder as to why she was brought in. Was it because the king needed warmth? Was it for his health? Some say it was to bring back his vitality. It's amazing how people like to discuss these things. But I do know why, and I believe you know why too. Because we live in the time right now for the bride, for the Father's Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all of this precious story was written for you. Do you know that that's why this was written? Do you know the Word of God tells you that? They wrote these things for us. How personal is this to you? Were these the love letters of his heart? Is this not the word beginning? Amen? That these were the things that God, in ages past, he foreknew. Amen, he did. And in that foreknowledge of his truth, praise God, he knew who would receive these things. He knew who would come to hear again, all by the Holy Ghost, and through the message in the gospel of Paul, that these were the love letters that were written long ago for us. Those were the hidden things, the Word of God tells us. They were the things that the prophets and the sons of men, they wanted to look into. They wanted to understand, why is it this story? Why is it this particular piece of, if you will, maybe they're looking at these things in their lives. Because let me tell you something, a lot of things happened in their lives, but it was just these things that were made manifest, the Word of God, for you. That personal. That exact, and exactly for this moment. Praise God. So, and here we have this same story, really. And I'm talking about the same story of every Gentile bride we've read about. The servants go out to find her. Amen? She's sought. They're sent out. They're sent out from the king, if you will. Always, it's going to be the Holy Ghost that's going to bring the bride to the king. It won't be anybody else. It's always going to be that messenger. It's always going to be that servant. It's always going to be the Holy Ghost. Because he's the only one that can minister all truth. He is the only one that can take the love of God and shed it abroad in your heart. He is the only one that can minister the proposal of the bridegroom. And it will always be the Word of God, the well. And then he's the only one that can continue to encourage the abounding hope of the Holy Ghost that'll actually keep you going. Because let me tell you something, you can't keep you going. It don't work. It's got to be the power of his might. It's the power of his passion. The power of his love that'll have us just going on and on through everything. I'm going, hallelujah, to the bridegroom. Now notice, yes, it's for the Lord, the King. But you look up the meaning of the Lord, and I love this. In the Hebrew, you will find the word husband. For the husband, the Lord, the King. Praise God. And notice here, she had to be a virgin. She had to be a woman eligible for marriage. So we see that she had to be a woman that was fully mature. Couldn't be a child. It had to be a woman, a virgin, a damsel, if you will, as well, too. And each one of those means a woman that is eligible for marriage. And then again, what was she to do? I love this. Look at the very first thing that she would be sought to do in verse 2. And let her stand before the king. He just wants to look at you. He just wants you to stand, withstand and having done all to stand. He just wants to gaze at that grace. He just wants to behold his mercy. Yeah. You don't need to do a thing except stand. See, there was something about his heart and his eyes that were drawn to Mary at his feet. Because she was just there. And he could behold her. Martha, you're moving around too much. You're encumbered with way too many things, honey. All I need you to do is stand still. Know me, amen? Know that I am God. So, how sweet this is. And brothers and sisters, as we stand in the grace of God, we ravish him. He's mesmerized. Truly mesmerized. That young roe heart, go read the Song of Solomon, rejoice at how he sees you as you just stand and occupy in his grace. You're about the things of the household, virtuous women. Amen? We don't get occupied and encumbered with everything else. Oh, no. I'm about my husband's household. I'm just here to occupy till he come. Praise God. Now, it even gets sweeter. And let her cherish him. Notice that. Cherish him. Isn't that beautiful? Let her cherish him and let her lie in thy bosom. But you go back and you, that word cherish, and we're going to read it again in the next verse, but it means to benefit and minister to him. Isn't that amazing? I just love that. This is the vessel that adds to the usefulness of the husband. Amen? She's brought in there not to just do nothing, but matter of fact, to be everything. To give that encouragement, to stand in that gaze. I'll tell you what, when you look upon beauty, that's a wonderful thing. And then this cherishing. How sweet this is, that the benefit, again, for the husband. And I'll tell you, you know, we haven't even searched down through verse 2 here, and think of all the bridal encouragement that he just pours forth right away. See, he's not messing around. This precious sister's only got a few verses to her. We'll read a few more in the second chapter, but then that's it. But he comes on strong, doesn't he? He doesn't mess around. You think about Rebecca at the well. How long did it take, if you will, Eliezer, to go ahead and whip out them bracelets and earrings and tell her all, because he had all of what the master had immediately, because there wasn't much time. Got to move now. You got to go now. And I love that. This is how our Lord does. This is how he brings forth this word. It just pours forth if we're ready. And then she says, and lie in thy bosom. Isn't that what this bride does? Complete rest, confidence. See, that line in the bosom speaks of heart love. It speaks of first love. Think about John, the disciple that Jesus loved. He laid upon the heart of the Lord. In the Song of Solomon 8:5, it speaks of that precious bride coming out of the wilderness. How? Leaning upon him. Do you have complete confidence in the Lord? I mean complete confidence. And I'm not just talking about for your natural life. By the grace of God, we know there's nothing hard for God. But I'm talking about, praise God, in the salvation with eternal glory life. You're getting confidence in grace, aren't you? You realize you don't, you know, that lily, it doesn't toil. It's just arrayed, praise God, to come over there and gaze at. Because it's all there. It just grows. It's watered. It's fed by the sun. It's amazing. But he's shown us this over and over in every type of type and shadow. He says, come on, get it. You're wonderfully and fearfully made. How wonderfully and fearfully do you believe you're made for him? Huh? I rejoice. Oh, I thank you that it is not in my strength. It's in his. Praise God. And it's his desire, and it's his plan, and it's his purpose, and it's his provision, and it's his power. And it's perfect, it's complete. And we thank God that he's given it all. Now, think about this. And it says, and that Lord King, that husband, what you're going to do is you're going to go bring him and give him heat. Now that's a big one. I'm telling you. You come out here on Wednesday night, you better be ready. That word heat means to be aroused. Inflamed. It literally means to make him hot. You ever read Ephesians? I believe you read something called to the good pleasure of his will. You look that up, and it means ecstasy. ecstasy. It's so intimate here. It's so, brothers and sisters, not in your face, it's in your heart, if you want it. But even his bosom here, even that bosom pressing up against the bosom, what that means is a hollow. It's a hollow. It's not just a heart, it's a hollow. There's something that needs to be filled there. So he's saying, now, honey, you're going to come in there and you're going to press up against his bosom. You're going to fill a hollow. What does Paul's gospel do? What does it say in Colossians? We'll read that a little bit later. But Paul's gospel fulfills or completes the word of God. She was sought. She was brought in. Here's your purpose, honey. That's it. That is it. This is our purpose. And I'll tell you what, that good pleasure of his will in Ephesians, brothers and sisters, it is all there once again for us. Then you go in verse 3. Because now here's what they're seeking. Now here's what they find. Because the Lord will always find what he seeks. Because he's always prepared it. It's right there. That's you. It wasn't an accident. You have divine appointment after divine appointment after divine appointment. Scheduled dinner dates for two continually. We just got to get our eyes set in the dove's eyes, because sometimes where he sets those tables are in the valley of the shadow of death. They're in a fiery furnace. Huh? They're always going to be in the presence of mine enemies. Those that are going to try to jab and stick, tell you why you can't. And I say, oh Lord, they meant it for evil, but you meant it for good. Amen. See, brothers and sisters, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Know that. Know that for everything in your life. And sometimes the greatest foe you'll ever face is you. It's you. And it's not just forgiving someone else. Sometimes it's forgiving yourself. You okay? It's all right to shout sometimes. I believe I'm hearing some groaning out here. Praise God. But it's good. Oh, it's good. And he's so good. But see, in verse 3, they sought for her. Brothers and sisters, I believe the word of God says that he's seeking out a goodly pearl. Amen. Sold all that he had for that one goodly pearl. Now, you think about two. It had to be that one. Did you notice that? It wasn't a bunch. It was go find her. Go get her. Go seek out that fair damsel. Go seek out that choice virgin. Go seek out that daughter that excels them all. That's the one. And praise be to God, that Holy Ghost is completely obedient. Oh, yes. Only taking the things of Christ and making them yours. You talk about that heat-seeking missile. Boom. That's why you're here. I don't care who you are here tonight. I don't care who you are listening. It's you. Because he would not have you to hear this word if this wasn't intended for you. It's exciting. You have happed upon a field. You just happen to walk into enormous, magnificent, overwhelming, infinite grace. And you caught somebody's eye in that field, I hope you know. He's looking right at you. I've got to have her. Do you see the theme all the time? Boom, boom. It never changes, does it? Because the word of God never does change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, we got a bunch of different characters out here. But his word's always the same. Oh, he's coming after us. Praise God. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. But then how about John 4:23? Let's think of the purpose that we live in and how the Lord so sweetly told us. In John 4:23, it says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers," and remember that word worship means to draw nigh in fervent love as to kiss. These are the lovers of him. These are the first love lovers. "That the true worshipers," not doers, workers, go do all these things for humanity and all those things. I'm not disregarding that or disrespecting that. If the Lord has that to come out, that's wonderful. But this is the purpose. He's looking for the lover. Amen. Looking for the lover. Huh? Come on, you know this. When you're searching out a spouse, whether you're a man or a woman, you're not looking for somebody to work for you. You better not. It ain't going to work. You want somebody to love you and love you for who you are and love you completely. Thoroughly. Amen. Yeah. This is what he wants. And think of that. The hour, the moment. It now is. I love how the Lord says that. It is. "When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." So see how it always going to come through the Father's will. Do you see how this is coming? Kind of jumping ahead of the story. But it's coming through King David to Solomon. It's exciting, isn't it? It is. It's just so perfect. It's like, ah, it's great. He'd bring you in here if you want to see it. It's marvelous. But again, this is your love letter. This is what he was writing for us. This is why this word is so perfect and true and exciting. But the Father is searching for her, for his son. And she's going to be a fair damsel. She's going to be the choice one of the Father. She is going to be the very most beautiful one that will not, there's nothing to be compared. And notice where they search. They search through all the coasts of Israel, it says, as you go back to chapter 1 of Kings there. All the coasts of Israel. Israel, one of the definitions, I love it, God prevails. They only look through the place, they look into the place where God's going to prevail. See, God's prevailing. Right there, that's the place. Right here. Why? Because that's the life of his son. Believe it. Go on. He'll prevail. God prevails. There it is. Believe him. Now, how wonderful here that as well too, where it says the coast of Israel, the sense here is she still has to come out of the family. But there's a twist on this. And this is why we can get to the connection that she's actually a Gentile. But remember that. Remember how Abraham, Abraham, when he sent out his servant to find the bride for Isaac, "I'm going to send you to my people. I'm not just going to send you out to the world. I'm going to send you to the family of God." This again follows that same pattern. "I'm going to send you out." He didn't say, "I'm going to send you out through all the world." "I'm going to send you out through the coasts of Israel. My domain. My people." All right? So, stay with this and it gets really exciting. And it says, they found her, didn't they? And you know that word found, I kind of let it out of the bag. It means hap. Same word. Remember how Ruth happed upon the field? She just happened to get on Boaz's property? Huh? Well, this is the same thing. It's so wonderful. She happed to. That word happed, it means an encounter. It means a divine appointment. It means to be found and seized. You ever feel like you're found and seized? You know, Brother Paul even said, "I'm a prisoner of love. I'm a prisoner of Christ." Amen. Found and seized. Amen. I like it. Seize me, Lord. Praise God. And it was Abishag the Shunammite. Okay, Abishag. This will kind of continue on with that thought of the little twist upon who she is and where she came from. Abishag, the name means, "My father has erred." My father's made a mistake. Wow. You thought it was something really nice, didn't you? But does it kind of sound like your life? Don't need a show of hands, but you know what I'm saying. But brothers and sisters, it's answered. My father erred is answered in her being a Shunammite. Now, first of all, before we get into that, a Shunammite, the word Shunammite means a double resting place. So here we have the father erred, but she's a double resting place. I think of this in that double portion. I think about she's going to be a resting place for the father, King David. And oh, is she going to be a resting place for the son, King Solomon. She brings that to him. Think again about the virtuous woman in Proverbs. The heart of the husband does safely trust in her. Right? There's a resting place. She brings that rest, that peace, that confidence. Because why? Because she cherishes him. Isn't that something? She stands before him. She cherishes him. She ministers to him. She loves him. She just did it willingly because she loved him. Praise God. Now, so sweet as we go on with this. But Shunem, where she was from, the Shunammite, was a land of the tribe of Issachar. Now, this is kind of a little bit of a genealogy lesson here with this. But Issachar was in the southern border of the land of Israel, and it shared the border with the Canaanites. Now, who were the Canaanites? They came from the line of Ham. Does that sound familiar? Remember Tamar? Remember Rahab? Remember Ruth? Remember the Song of Solomon? I am black and beautiful. Another translation of that, maybe even more exact. I am beautifully black. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, I love it. Praise the Lord. Now, think of this as we go back to thinking of that line of Ham. And my father erred. Ham erred, didn't he? And why did Ham err? Because he looked on the nakedness of his father Noah. Made a mistake to look upon the sin, as opposed to the other two brothers that went in and covered not looking at their father. But God didn't forget Ham's line, did he? Matter of fact, I think these precious ladies got exalted to a level that was beyond all the others. Amen. Yes. How wonderful once again. But see, as you look at this, the tribe of Issachar was known for converting Gentiles into Jews. So it is most likely that Abishag was a Canaanite converted into Judaism by the tribe of Issachar. Now, we don't know that for certain, but I'll tell you what, it gives us even a greater type of what this really represents. This is a type of the church. See, David here at the end of his life, pretty much Israel had turned away from him. They didn't follow him. They weren't all marching along with him. There was a lot of division still going on, and the things were not right. Well, think about when Jesus Christ came. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And who did he turn to? The Gentiles. So here he had this young virgin that they went out and found. And oh, Father, she's going to bring you comfort. You see how you comfort the Father? You know, Israel hurt God. He loves them, but it hurt. They were unfaithful. But they will be made faithful again. Yeah. So much here, isn't there? Praise the Lord. But see, she's young. She's the most beautiful. But here's the most beautiful thing about her. She comes willingly to him. She wants to come unto him. It says she cherished him. How could she cherish an old man? How could you cherish an old story? It's new every day. never grows old. Oh, my heart just about ready to burst. See, she cherished him. She was like an Esther. And I will have to say this. After studies the last couple weeks, she's like Bathsheba. I can't resist. You're still chewing on that. That's good. But you see, she received the blood of the Lamb. She's from the family, but so much more. She's not just part of the family. She's the Father's choice one. She's been brought in. And soon, she becomes the wife of his son Solomon the king. Jumping over to the Song of Solomon. Remember, he says, my sister, my spouse. You see that play here. She's brought in to the king, the father, David. Amen? He never knows her. But she's there in a way of comfort that in a way he's never had. Fire is brought back into his heart. A love, a passion. And praise the Lord. Oh, a passion that will be passed to his son. So great that we're going to read in a minute, without her there is no kingdom. Praise God. You see how this perfectly fits. Again, she's the one that's spoken of as the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon. Now, as we close this up, remember last week we read about David's son Adonijah? Remember Adonijah? He was a brother of Absalom. And remember we saw that he tried to take the throne, didn't he? But oh, there was a virtuous woman, and her name was Bathsheba. And that was not going to happen. Because the word of the Lord spoke to her, and she immediately went in and said, oh no, that's mine. And that's for my fruit. My son Solomon, David, you promised would be king. And we know that Solomon became king. But yet that's not the end of the story with old Adonijah. More importantly, it's not the end of the story because we've got Abishag to deal with. And it gets hotter, if you can imagine that. The love for this most beautiful daughter of all exceeds everything. Turn over to chapter 2 of 1 Kings. Verse 13. What we're going to read here is right after Solomon is king. So Solomon is king. Adonijah, the older brother, concedes that his brother is king. But Adonijah has a request. And he wished he didn't request it. But we'll see. Verse 13 of chapter 2. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. And she said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, oh, peaceably. And said, moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And she said, say on. And he said, thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me, and I should reign. We got a lot of problems there. Me, I, not listening to the word of God. I still don't get it. Doesn't end well, does it? Howbeit, the kingdom is turned about and is become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. Isn't that amazing? See, he does get it. He doesn't want to. But it is the word of the Lord. So it's done. And now I ask one petition of thee. Deny me not. And she said unto him, say on. And he said, speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay. He won't tell you no. That he give me Abishag the Shunammite to wife. And Bathsheba said, well, I will speak for thee unto the king. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her, bowed himself unto her, sat down on the throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. Think of how Solomon esteemed and loved his mother. Because he knew the love and the passion that she had for him and the word of God for his life. How highly esteemed she was to him. There was nothing Even Adonijah knew. There was nothing that Solomon would deny his mother upon a request, except one thing. Then she said, I desire one small petition of thee. I pray thee, say me not nay. So she, I just want one thing. Please, don't tell your mama no. And the king said unto her, ask on, my mother, for I will not say thee nay. He didn't know what was coming. And she said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah, thy brother, to wife. Now, I want you to know something here. He didn't have to go think about this. There was new. There was no moment here of, let me contemplate this or anything like that. Here's the answer. And the king answered and said unto his mom, Why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask him for the kingdom also? For he is mine elder brother, even for him and for Abathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zeruiah. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more also if Adonijah would not have spoken the word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord lives, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and thou hast made me a house as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. And the kings and King Solomon sent out by the hand of Benaiah. And I love that guy, man. I'll tell you what, when he fell on you, it was over. The son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. That was one of the mighty men. Wonderful. I want you to think about this. Remember, Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines. He had a lot of women. But Abishag was everything. Abishag was everything. He loved her more than all. Why was it only Abishag that without her there was no kingdom? Because as the word of God has told us, she was the goodly pearl. She represents that to us. She was the daughter that excelled them all. His love to her exceeded all the other women. Just as our precious Lord Jesus, the only detail left is to take the throne as God. He's waiting for his wife. That's it. It's finished. But he's waiting to rule as God for one thing, his wife. That day will begin the moment the trumpet blasts. And she meets him in the air. Amen. His wife, praise God, is everything. The only thing to make him complete. As it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. The Apostle Paul. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. What was given to Paul completes the word of God. What was given to Paul completes Jesus. What was given to Paul was the bridal message that completes Jesus, the bridegroom. Amen. This is exactly what we have once again. We have the proposal message of the bride, brothers and sisters. When he calls her to him, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, it's done. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And that time, as the word of God says, shall be no more, for his glory shall be with him. This is the passion that we read of tonight. This is that heat. This is the ravished heart for the apple of his eye, his love for the highly favored, as the word of God says, the masterpiece of his grace, the vessel only for the use of the husband. And even now, think of this, he's holding back his wrath for her. The word of God even tells us that he's holding back Satan from coming forth fully as a roaring lion, until he that hinders is taken out of the way. That's how he loves you. That's how he loves you. That's how he protects us. That's how he cares for us. An exceeding care. And once she is gone, then sudden destruction. Then all of that fury and wrath will pour forth. I pray this has inspired you. I pray by the grace of God that, you know, really, these studies revealing the heart of our precious Savior to have a wife has kind of set us on fire. Amen. What he has seen for us, what he has written for us, written to us, the hidden mysteries of his great love, you happen to hap upon it. I mean, we're here. We're right here. We're it. They've searched you out. They sought you. They brought you. You've been standing before him. Hallelujah. He's ravished. Know who you are. Your value to him. Priceless. Don't be like that Vashti. Well, I'll come out another day. No. Oh, Lord, have your way with me. Have your way with me. I want you to will and to do of your good pleasure with me. Yeah. God help us to awaken, brothers and sisters, because, and I'm talking to praise and thanksgiving to heights we've never had. That this calling is ours, that this vocation is ours, that this proposal is ours. Think of how long he's been saying to you, brother and sister, will you marry me? Will you marry me? Yeah. Yes, I will go. I'm in. I'm in. I'll stand here by the grace of God. It gets hot. It gets rough. People don't like it. You don't belong here. You're not one of us, huh? Look where you're from. Look at where your family is. Your father erred. You're just a Canaanite. Line of Ham? Puh. That's why I say, brothers and sisters, know the word of God. Know how much he loves you. Know the value of exactly how he made you to need him. Yeah. A lot of foolishness going on out there right now. So much distortion of truth. And it's just the enemy that's doing it. Dividing and all these things. Know what is highly esteemed to him. This has been set forth. There's no denying. Praise God. He's seeking you out. Okay? Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.